Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, gentlemen? First off, Happy New Year to you gentlemen and your families and the whole entire crew. So
you too, Mike. Appreciate
that. I just want to give that out. Thank you, guys. Look, I hate the fact that we've been talking about this all freaking day. You know, I've been listening to the show all day and everything. That the fact that Steph Curry can, you know, possibly just be a trade target at this point. But you know what? As much as it hurts, it makes the most sense. You know, unless we're trying to find someone, and I just don't think that we have, I mean, okay, I'm not going to put it like this. We have the assets to make something happen, but again, does it affect the future? You know, we do have a ton of draft picks. Can we make a move, someone to make, like, Steph Curry with a second guy relevant at this point? I don't know, but in regards to if we had to, and I don't ever want to see the man ever trade the Dubs uniform for another uniform, but just for the talk of it, you know, I still don't see what we can still get out of, like, you know, the prospect of trading Steph Curry. Like, I still think that we can get a package out of it, but what are you going to get as a player that is going to come with that package? You're looking at, like, a top prospect. You know, you're not going to get a Giannis. You're not going to get a Luka. You're not going to get a SGA or anything like that. You're going to probably get someone, and don't quote me on this, guys, I swear. Please don't quote me on this. You're looking at someone who I would like to see that is, like, you know, a Cunningham or a Paolo or someone like that, possibly, but with picks behind it and also seeing what you get with it. So I just don't see something where we can make, I mean, again, it's the NBA. Anything can happen. You know, trades are going to happen, but I just don't see the factor of, like, making a trade, you know, this year, if anything, next year. I just don't see it right now. It's just so, you know, belittling right now to even think about it, but at the same time, it can happen potentially at the trade deadline. That's all I wanted to say, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Mike. And don't worry, we won't quote you on it. I think the names you threw out, you're thinking in the right way, but those are two well-established stars that opposing teams would do. Like, the Magic aren't giving you
Paolo
Banchero. They aren't giving you Banchero. He's hurt right now and out for a while. But if Banchero was your target, the Magic aren't doing that. The Magic are not trading their best player for Stephen Curry, who's maybe only a couple of years away from retirement. What you're looking for is a younger but promising player on a team that's good but not great. Like, the Houston Rockets would be an interesting trade. Now, I don't know if I could stomach Stephen Curry being a Rocket. I probably couldn't. And I want to preface all this by saying I don't think that this is what the Warriors should do, and I don't think they will do it. But if you were to do it, that's what you would look at. You would look at the Houston Rockets, and maybe you center it around someone like Jalen Green, who's having a good year. Maybe you center it off of someone who they just picked in the first round this year, like a Reed Shepard out of Kentucky. Maybe you go up to the Spurs and say, hey, Stephon Castle, their first round pick.
Well,
this
even
past
your
year.
Houston deal, I'm still looking for $33 million more, and I'm on the trade machine right now. As you and the previous caller are,
well, they got
are
a ton
spitting
of,
it out.
They got a ton of money tied up with Fred VanVleet.
Oh, bring him in. Let's go.
I don't know how many more years he has left on his deal. But
I think it's two more years, and he's making $42.8 million.
That's so, a lot of money.
Yeah, you're going to – let's just –
you have to get creative. But the centerpiece of the trade would be if you're looking for a player that is currently in the NBA, as in terms of, like, the main piece. You could get, like, three first-round picks maybe. But if you also want an established player, maybe you're looking at a younger player who has been in the league for a bit, has shown promise, but isn't yet the superstar. You hope that he turns into the superstar because no one is going to give their 24-year-old superstar for a 37-year-old Steph. It's not the way it works.
And
you have to invest.
Houston's going to trade, you know, Jalen Green.
Probably not.
A guy who, he's not a superstar.
They would probably trade Jalen Green before they would trade Şengün.
Perhaps.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, Şengün's more of a unique player, but I think if you're Houston, you're looking to trade Fred VanVleet more than you're looking to trade any of these guys.
No
the guy
doubt.
Who's making 42.8. So, I mean, I like the idea of getting younger, ascending possible stars in a trade. But
OKC is also a potential one because they have assets out the wazoo that they could trade you.
Right. And
they might be, I mean, this is only the second year that they've ever, you know, been good. They could use a veteran piece who can help them through the postseason. Like, those are the kind of teams you're looking for that have the young assets that are trying to take the next step.
Yeah, I get that, but you're still talking about, and I hate this idea, and I hate the conversation, but I'm going to play along because people are interested in it, and I, for one, would never in any way other than if Steph knocked on my door and said, guys, it's been great, four titles, we made a good run, I'd like to go elsewhere and try to get ring number five somewhere else. Please trade me. That's the only way that I would entertain any of this. But if you look at Oklahoma City, you've got Gilgeous Alexander making 35.8, possible MVP, not going anywhere.
Yep.
Hartenstein, who they just signed to a deal, he's making 30. And other than that, you got Lu Dort at 16.5. Chet Holmgren, they're not trading at 10.8. And then you got a bunch of guys making absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
So for me, OKC is not much of a match when you're dealing with guys making 55.7.
Yeah, the money makes it all tough. And I mean, I'm with you. I don't think that this is what's going to happen. And you're spot on. The only way that it does happen is if it is Steph Curry driven. And he goes up to the front office and says, it's been great. I think we can benefit each other if we try to work something out because I want to try to win. It seems very difficult to do that here at the moment. And you guys don't want to spend a lot of time after me being bad. And I can kind of stock your cupboards a little bit. I could go to a contender. I can try to win number five. And you guys can maybe look at it 3 years from now as well. That was one of the best moves we made because now we're contenders again. And we had maybe just a couple of years of being near the bottom of the league. But now we're back to where we like to be.
Right.
That's in a perfect world. It doesn't. Might not go that way. In fact, it probably won't. But it gives you a better chance than if you just stand pat.
It depends on what your plan is for the future. And I think that, you know, you've got more time to try to figure this out than this coming deadline. And I understand that Steph is frustrated, and you played the sound before, and I'm sure there's more Steph Curry. And I don't remember hearing him this downtrodden after game 32 of a season. When you lose in the finals to Toronto, yeah, you're bummed. And when you lose in a play-in game, you're devastated. And you lose a series to the Lakers, you're very upset. Those are times when, you know, the tone that he struck makes more sense to me. I've never heard him after game 32 sounding that frustrated, and frustrated to a point where it doesn't seem like there's a fix that's in the offing. But
yeah.
I would get the sense that he's going to give Mike Dunleavy and company this deadline. And then in the next offseason, if we get to next February of 2026, and this team is still this, and to use Steph's word, they're still mid, I think at that point we have a conversation.
You're probably right. You're probably, I mean, this is not something that's happening this trade deadline. You're very, very correct about that. Like, it's not happening now. But if things continue to go poorly, there might come a time where Steph does think about the possibility of ending his career elsewhere. I think what is infinitely more likely, especially this trade deadline or this offseason, is the Warriors trying to do something that benefits the end of Steph Curry's career and also has the potential to benefit the Warriors after Stephen Curry retires. And there's very few players that fit that description because they have to be, one, good enough now to help Stephen Curry. They have to be, two, young enough that they are still good enough to help lead a franchise after Stephen Curry. And they have to be controllable for years to come so that while they are still good, you still have them under your control on your roster. With all of those considerations and all of those characteristics of the team that you're looking for, there is one option to me, Dibs, that stands out around, above the best, above the rest. And that is Zion Williamson.
Yeah, boy.
Zion Williamson, 24 years old, after this year under contract for three more years. I know the injury history is scary, but you are talking about a 24-year-old, when he's healthy, superstar. That is good enough. When he's healthy, okay, superstar. You. That when he is healthy, is good enough at this moment to be a legitimate running mate alongside Stephen Curry. And you might be able to get him without giving up Jonathan Kuminga. And you look 4 years into the future, you have Jonathan Kuminga and Zion Williamson leading your franchise. I feel like this is the best move the Warriors can make. And it doesn't mean it's a home run. I'm not guaranteeing it to work. The Warriors in this situation do not have a home run move. They don't have a home run. If they did, they would make it, and it would be clear and obvious. You're going to have to take a risk at some point to try to make this thing work. As I said earlier, the one thing the Warriors can do in 2025 to ensure this year is better than 2024, be bold. And a trade for an injured Zion Williamson is being bold. The contract, he's under contract for three more years, and as Bobby Marks pointed out to you guys last month, it is almost a riskless contract because there's so few guaranteed dollars left. I get that there's a risk because he's not healthy. You're going to have to take a risk. This is not easy. You have to make a tough decision. Zion is a tough decision, and if it works out for you, you will get one of the best players in the NBA for pennies on the dollar. Why is New Orleans even considering trading him? Because they've gone through the worst season imaginable, and they just want to get off from some money. Zion Williamson should be the Warriors' target because he gives them the best chance to win now with Steph and lead the franchise post-Steph.
If you went out to acquire Zion Williamson, to me, unless you really got him for pennies on the dollar, which you can't do, because Zion's making
36.7 this year.
Yeah, he's making 36.7, which means you'd have to trade either Draymond or Wiggins and somebody else. And,
yep,
you know, you're going to go out there and acquire a guy who he just doesn't play basketball. So you might as well trade for D'Anthony Melton at this point, a guy who also doesn't play basketball. Zion Williamson hasn't played basketball in 2 months. And if you look at his...
Played 70 games last year, Dibs.
Mark, he hasn't played since November, and he's out with a hamstring. And I don't know if it's a severe enough injury to where it's so bad that he won't be able to play again, or maybe he just has a hamstring because he doesn't want to be a Pelicans anymore. But yeah, he played 70 games last year. The year before that, he played 29. The year before that, he played zero. So if you want to talk about an injury history, his entire career... is injury. His whole career has been littered with injury. He's a guy who has trouble with his weight, so much so that his current team has put provisions into his contract that he has to weigh in multiple times throughout the year. He's shown a lack of an ability to stay on the court. And yes, when he does actually play basketball, he is a very difficult guy to cover. Not an elite defender, and his style, I don't think, fits with what the Golden State Warriors do. But you want to go ahead and bring in another power forward to a team that already struggles to find ways to play TJD and Kuminga and Draymond. So now you're going to add a ball-stopping offensive clogger when he plays, which, by the way, is not very often. I am out on this trade for now. I'm out on it in the future. And, you know, you'd have to trade Wiggins.
Wiggins, and GP2, and Gui Santos gets it done.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm ready to part with Gui, even though he's out on my picks. Yeah, that is a successful deal.
That makes
deal.
The money work.
Yeah, so it's basically Wiggins, Payton, Gui, and you'd probably have to give him a second-round pick, or depending on how desperate they are to move Zion Williamson. I'm out on acquiring a guy who does not play basketball.
I hear you. This was Bobby Marks last month with you and Willard. This was about 2 weeks ago now, because he brought up a potential Zion Williamson trade for the Warriors. Here's him explaining that.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned Zion just as a, listen, there's not many superstar players out there. You know, certainly Jimmy Butler's name has been out there. Brandon Ingram's out there. I think why I talked about Zion, and I think the only reason for Golden State, if you go down that path, is if you're not giving up much to do that. And it's because it's, you know, based on his injury history and the contract. His contract is one of the great contracts out there because there's no guarantees after this year. It's non-guaranteed for the next 3 years after here. So if you're going out and pursuing him, then that's there's less of a risk taking him on. Then you're saying, like, well, why would New Orleans do that? And that's right. Like, why would the Pelicans do that where they're not maximizing his value here? So I think Zion would make sense if you're giving up a first round pick and maybe one or two players that match. Not giving up Jonathan Kuminga, not giving up probably not even maybe Brandon Podziemski, as far as kind of like, you know, if it's Wiggins and an expiring contract, then that maybe makes a little bit more set and sense because the risk is not there for you if you're the Warriors.
I get the risk, Dibs. I really do. The way this blows up in your face is you trade away Wiggins, you trade away GP2, you trade away Gui Santos, and maybe it still costs a first-round pick. Okay, you do that, and then Zion ends up playing 73 games for you over the course of the final 3 years of his contract. Like, that is the nightmare, of course. I just don't know what legitimately better options the Warriors have. Options that, if it works out, both helps Steph right now, gives him the best teammate he's had alongside him since Kevin Durant, and then also is a way for the Warriors to avoid bottoming out after Stephen Curry retires.
Well, that's assuming that Zion Williamson actually plays basketball.
It's a risk, no doubt.
I think it's a huge risk.
But if it works out, you're talking about stealing. If Zion is anywhere near healthy and plays 60 games a year for the rest of his contract, this would go down as one of the greatest trades in Warriors franchise history.
I just don't think that, yes, plausibility of it aside, if Zion Williamson is able to have a year like he did last year, where he played, 70 games?
70 games, career high.
70's great.
And unfortunately got hurt in the play-in, and the Pelicans lost to the Lakers in the play-in.
He's played 6 games this year, and I'm looking at his contract as per Bobby Marks on ESPN. He has a combined weight and body fat number of 295, which means if the weight is 275, his body fat has to be 20%, which would combine to be 295. According to sources, he's actually on track to meet these weigh-in criteria, but his contract only becomes guaranteed if he plays in 41 games, 51 games, 61 games. So he's not going to make 61 games. If he makes 51 games, which is very unlikely, if he makes 41 games, half a year, and meets the weight, his contract becomes 60% guaranteed for the future. And that is really more where it's trending. The numbers of the contract aside, I think that all this trade talk is centered around making the Warriors better right now. And I don't think that if you bring in Zion Williamson coming off a hamstring issue that he's been unable to get through, that he's going to make you better between February and the end of this year. If you want to entertain a Zion move in the offseason, I'm more open to it.
Okay, I hear you. If what you laid out with the contract, all that is true, like it's not guaranteed unless he plays X amount of games. That's a decent number of games.
Right, 61 games, which he won't meet now.
He won't meet this year.
Because he's already missed like 26 games.
Yeah. So not happening this year. Then what what are you even giving up? Like, say the nightmare scenario works out and Zion does not play a lot of games, doesn't meet the criteria, which means you don't have to pay him nearly as much. You're giving up in this scenario. Let's say it's a first round pick plus whatever is making the money.
Wiggins.
You're giving up Wiggins essentially and a first round pick.
And GP2 is expiring, and Guy Santos. Yeah, is your 14th player.
Like, Wiggins is a solid player, but we can all agree if you keep Wiggins on this team and you make no other moves around him, even if you make marginal moves around him, you're not winning anything this year. You're not winning anything next year. But what exactly are you missing out on if the nightmare scenario for Zion works out?
I think you're missing out on the fact that Wiggins is your second or third best player this year, and he's the kind of guy who you can win with.
So is a play-in appearance worth holding on to that? I mean, you're not very good with him.
No, but you have Wiggins for 2 more years, and Wiggins is a player who you've won with, and you know what he can be, and this year he's been actually a lot closer to championship level Wiggins than he was the last 2 years.
Not like you're magically going to get better next year, though, if the roster stays the same.
Well, the roster won't be the same because you have all these expiring deals that are coming off, and you'll be able to add a player in the offseason. I would rather have Wiggins through the rest of this year and not Zion, and go into the offseason and see what I could do in free agency then, as opposed to trading Wiggins now, who's got a very good team-friendly contract for the next 2 years. As good as Andrew is, he makes less than what he would be paid on the open market right now. And I like to have Andrew Wiggins, a guy who, by the way, shows up every night to play, put aside the personal, you know, struggles and the nightmare he went through with his family, which cost him half a year 2 years ago and cost him a handful of games last year. He's usually healthy, and he always plays. But you can't say that about Zion Williamson. He's never healthy, and he never plays. So I'd rather have Andrew Wiggins for the next 2.5 years and go into the offseason and see what I can do in free agency, knowing that going into next year, we're now out of the second apron. They're not even in the first apron of the luxury tax. And so now you could be a little bit more aggressive. You could go back into the tax if you wanted with a bigger free agent move.
Yeah.
That to me makes more sense. You know, if somebody wants to pay Kuminga $35 million a year over 5 years, which would be $175, if some team out there wants to give him $5 and $175, well, maybe you could work a sign and trade. So now you have a $35 million salary slot that you can use in a trade to bring in somebody like Zion Williamson.
$36.7 million.
Right. That, for me, makes more sense, because then you end up keeping Andrew Wiggins, and you probably keep your draft capital for the most part, and you're going to have room with Looney coming off and GP2 coming off and Schroeder's contract comes off as well.
Yep. The Warriors have said that they hope he's a guy they can re-sign and bring back next year. Well, some of that might depend on how he plays the rest of the year.
Ask me tomorrow.
He is on the last year of his current deal.
I just think that you've got a lot of flexibility that you are going to build in going into the offseason that I don't want to sacrifice with a dice roll on Zion Williamson and whether or not he can be healthy.
I just think the Warriors' options are all dice rolls at this point. You don't have a surefire thing. Like, nothing is going to feel absolutely positively. That's the move you have to make. It's just the nature of dynasties. When dynasties start, you know, petering out, as Anthony Slater said, they're a fading giant, and they have been for nearly 4 years now. Like, you don't have a ton of easy answers. I mean, even when the Spurs wrapped up, they won the title in 2013 or 14. They won the title in 2014, the year before the Warriors won their first. And then after that, I mean, even in the final couple of years of Tim Duncan, they weren't very good then either. It's a little different because of the differing dynamics of the markets that the Warriors and the Spurs are in. But, like, even the Spurs dynasty, which we hold in this crazy high regard, I mean, after Tim Duncan, they have been terrible every single year. Like, no one survives what the Warriors are trying to survive. Unless you get insanely lucky, and the Warriors haven't been insanely lucky. And the only way that I can try to figure out this Warriors team, maybe not surviving, but limiting the downtime, is by taking a risk, taking a swing, closing your eyes and swinging for the fences, and just hope that it works. Bite the bullet. Be bold. Make a move.
I don't think you're wrong in a vacuum, but I also don't believe that you have to do it in the next 5 weeks.
And that's you might be right.
I agree with you that you have to be bold. And
I hear you at the offseason.
I look at the offseason, and I look at that as a, not a last dance scenario, but Steve Kerr's contract, I think, has, what, one more year? And Draymond and Steph, at the end of the season, will each have two more years, and Wiggins would have one more and a player option.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
And so I think about this offseason as a time where you can make maybe that big swing, and I still won't entertain trading Steph. You can talk about trading Draymond. I think that's a diminishing asset, and you're not going to get as much back as you would have a couple of years ago. Wiggins is always going to be a trade target, a guy who you're going to think about trading. You've got a decision to make on Kuminga. And other than that, you have a lot of players who, by the nature of, you know, their age and their salary, they're going to be gone. GP2 at 32 is going to probably be gone. Kevon is making $8 million. As a 29-year-old, he'll be gone. And Lindy Waters, his contract is up. And Schroeder making $13 million. He can come back on a lesser deal maybe at 31. I do think you're going to have roster turnover anyway. And you've got other pieces, Buddy Hield and Slo-Mo, veterans who are making next to nothing that you can either keep or package in a trade. I think the big move that you want to make, it's easier to do it in the summer as opposed to here in January and February.
So then what do they do over the next 5 weeks?
They hope to play better. You hope to make a shot.
That's all it is? It's just hope? Hope that the current roster figures it out?
I don't think that there's a trade out there. And let's play with the Zion deal and the one that you just threw out. Yeah. So you trade Wiggins, and you trade GP2, and you trade Guy Santos, and you get Zion Williamson. does that suddenly take you from a play-in team to a playoff team? I don't believe so. And even if they're able to get to a six seed, are you still at a six seed? Are you good enough to knock off any of the real powers in the West?
You get a healthy Zion, I absolutely think so.
Yeah, see, I don't believe so. And I look at, you know, you're going to have Schroeder and Heald, and you're going to have Kevon and Slow-Mo and Schroeder and Draymond and Wait, and then you won't have Wiggins, and you'll have Curry and Kuminga. I don't think that that core, and I look at other cores in the West, and I see four or five teams with better cores than what the Warriors would have, even with Zion Williamson. And at the expense of probably an unprotected first-round pick, and if I'm New Orleans, I want your pick in 2028 at the earliest. I don't want it now. I don't want it this year. I certainly don't want it next year. Maybe 2027. I want your pick when you stink. I mean, really stink. And if you think that that day is coming, then I don't want your pick now. I'll take your pick later.
A little bit of news today from New Orleans related to Zion Williamson. He was getting some work in after the team's practice today. He's working his way back. He'll be back on the court before you know it, Dibs.
Fork or spoon?
He's going.
What's wrong with
neither,
these people?
Neither. He's just double fisting beignets, Dibs.
Totally.
No utensils needed.
Did you go to Cafe
Du Monde?
Attaboy. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good.
Endless powdered sugar on those beignets.
Pretty good, yeah.
Have you walked into the actual like restaurant where they have the open air seating with the overhang?
Oh, yeah.
And the ground is just covered in powdered sugar. Oh my God, it's delicious. The beignets, delicious.
And while we're here with New Orleans on our mind, just, I mean, I won't say thoughts and prayers because that to me is the emptiest thing, but just you think about people who were there and, you know, people who live there. Steiny's daughter goes to school there and she was home for the holidays and just an absolute nightmare. And, you know, your heart goes out to everybody who was obviously affected by everything that took place in New Orleans.
I was there 3 months ago, and I walked by where it happened
exactly
10 different times. As everyone, I mean, that's the most popular street in New Orleans. Everyone that visits New Orleans is right there. Scary.
Sick. I mean, just the amount of sickness among some people in this world, it just it scares you. Yeah. Anyway, didn't mean to go there, but
you're good.
I wanted to throw that out there as recognition. I look forward to seeing the video of Zion out there putting in work.
I'm looking at it right now. Tweeted by Will Guillory, covers the Pelicans. Oh, a little left-handed push shot off the glass and in. He's looking pretty limber there,
Dibs. His game is nice. I love his game. I loved it at Duke. He was one of the original, not the original, but one of the latest generation of high school phenoms where you watch him in high school. It's
his
like,
and one mixtape was off the chain.
And then at Duke, and he actually ripped his way out of his own shoe.
That's how powerful he is, Dibs.
He was so good.
Imagine him wearing a Warriors jersey.
I just imagine
him. He would jump out of the gym at Chase Center.
I imagine him actually playing basketball consistently.
Imagine Tim Roy calling a Zion Williamson elevation sensation from Zion.
It'd be pretty awesome, but I'm kind of stuck on what Zion's career has been. And, you know, last year was clearly the anomaly where he was healthy, and I'm going back to previous year where he played on this day, this date in NBA history, January 2nd, 2023. He had 26 at Philly in a loss, and that was the end of his season. He did not play the remainder of 3 months of that season. And the previous year, 2021, he played pretty well, played a lot of games that year. But he had a couple of stretches where he was injured. It just scares me, Grandy.
And I get it. I get it. And 888-957-9570, you can let me know if I'm going crazy. I think the Warriors move that helps them, maybe not now because Zion's working back from an injury, but it helps them in the Steph Curry window, and it helps them beyond the Steph Curry window. It's trading for Zion Williamson, and you can do it without giving up Jonathan Kuminga, and suddenly you have a three in Curry, Zion, and Kuminga for now, and then you have a duo of mid to young 20s 24-year-old Zion, 22-year-old Kuminga to build around after Stephen Curry. 888-957-9570. You can call me crazy. You can say it's the last thing they should do, or you can agree with me, or anything in between. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. Again, 888-957-9570. You brought up something, Dibs, that Anthony Slater, Warriors insider, brought up on the Morning Roast with Bonte and Spadoni today. Spadoni and Fershaski. And it was about Kuminga, because the Warriors also have a decision to make on Kuminga. Either think about trading him in the next 5 weeks, or consider letting him leave in the offseason for nothing if some team offers him more than you're comfortable paying him. Slater was asked, what is Kuminga's value around the league? Here's what Slater said about that.
Well, I think there's skepticism at times on what he'll ultimately be from an efficiency standpoint. And, you know, in like an ultimate winning environment, there's still like a load of talent in there. And on the right night, he really intrigues a lot of people in the league. But we understand what his salary desires are. And the fact that his salary next season, probably, if he has his way, is going to bump up from, you know, single digits, like the nine-ish millions, up towards, you know, 30 beyond, like, that makes him, you know, that makes the league kind of question whether that's worth it or not, right? Like, there's a lot, somebody is going to have to take, you know, pretty heavy, pricey risk on him. And I think that's what everyone's trying to figure out. That's also why everyone in the league doesn't mind the fact that, hey, play him 30 minutes so we can get information on him.
Yeah. And that's what the Warriors have been doing lately. Steve Kerr has said they want to stick with the current starting five, which is Curry, Schroeder, Wiggins, Draymond, and Trayce Jackson-Davis, but play Kuminga off the bench starters minutes. And that's what they have been doing of late. Slater said a couple of weeks ago this was information gathering season for the NBA on Jonathan Kuminga. It is still that. The more I think about it, though, Dibs, it seems very unlikely the Warriors trade Jonathan Kuminga this trade deadline. One, because he's on the last year of his deal, and what team wants to give up, you know, a chunk of assets to acquire him when he might leave in 6 months? And the other part of it is he's making so little right now that if the Warriors are trying to actually get better right now, which they should, it's almost impossible for Kuminga to be a part of that, because he's not making enough for you to bring in anything of any value back in return for him.
He becomes a throw-in in a deal, and you don't want to use Kuminga, an asset, whether or not you think he's ascending or whatever you think he is. This year he's playing worth more than what his contract currently is. Now, is he playing to the level where he's a $35 or $40 million a year player? I don't think so. We had somebody on the show a couple of weeks ago, and might have been Bobby Marks, it might have been an NBA person after the fact, where they were putting the market more at $25 or $30 million a year. And I think that might be closer to where the actual range will be for Kuminga. So if I'm the Warriors and I have Jonathan Kuminga under contract and he wanted the max in the offseason, and that didn't happen, nor should it have happened, even though Franz Wagner got the max and, you know, other players in his class got huge money. If I'm the Warriors and I want to be in a wait-and-see information-gathering mode, which they clearly are, you hold all the cards. You let him play. You play him as much as he earns and as much as he's going to help you win. And then at the end of the year, you sit back and say, all right, association, other 29 teams, now tell me what you think of Jonathan Kuminga. And if a team out there says, we want to pay him 5 years and $125 million, 5 and 125. And the Warriors go, we'll match that. 5 and 150. We'll match that. 5 and 175. Now, so I think that there's a point where no matter what Kuminga gets in a contract offer, the Warriors have the right to match it. He's a restricted free agent. So,
and Kuminga would be forced to then accept and come back to the Warriors
exactly.
for that amount.
Or the Warriors can, you know, sign him to that contract and trade him, which is ostensibly what they did with Jordan Poole. It took Jordan Poole a year because, you know, Jordan Poole was signed. He was given an extension before his last year of his deal.
The 2022 offseason after they won the title.
Right, he got the extension.
That year was the last year of his rookie deal.
Correct. So by the time the rookie deal ended, then they traded him once his new value kicked in. And I don't know all the rules about, you know, a sign and trade for a player on a restricted free agent deal, but the Warriors do have the ability to sit back and see where the value is around the league. I guarantee you the Warriors have already in their mind a number that they'd be comfortable paying. And if the offer comes in from another team, you know, if it's Charlotte or Detroit or whoever it is, and that offer is way bigger than they want to pay, well, now they're in a spot. Because you don't really want to lose him for nothing, although they did Chris Paul, right, in this offseason. Where,
a little different, though, but yeah.
Yeah, a little different, but you want to be able to recoup at least a salary spot if you end up parting ways with Kuminga.
Seventh overall pick.
Right.
2021.
But, yeah, NBA champion.
He was a big impact on that championship team.
NBA champion.
You're right. Just like James Wiseman is an
Patrick
NBA champion.
Patrick McCall has three,
yeah,
I believe.
Shout out to Toronto Raptors where he got one.
Yeah,
over the Warriors.
And one there, yeah. So
legend.
Absolutely. Champion.
Moody, also a champion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's that to me becomes the interesting one is, you know, Moody comes up and it's 3 years and 39. And, you know, Warriors are like 3 and 39. And Moody looks at it and goes, yeah, okay. I'm probably right now, the way you use me in my development, I'm a $13 million a year guy. And if Kuminga thinks that he's a max money guy and the Warriors say, go prove it, and he doesn't go out there and prove it, then you got to let the market dictate what you're going to pay him. What are you looking at? Pat McCaw, three rings?
No, I was looking at Moses Moody, exactly what it was.
3 for 39, right?
Three for 37.5.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, he's making 11.5 or next year, 12.5 the following year, and then the last year, 13.4.
And honestly, if you look at that deal, even if he stays this player, which is a shame because I think he's better than what they use him as, that's a good contract for both parties. He's basically their ninth or tenth man. He's mostly reliable injury-wise. And when he's on the floor, he's pretty good on both ends. He's a good guy to have on your team.
He doesn't get in. Right. Doesn't play.
Well, and that's the eternal question for Steve Kerr. And, you know, all the Steve Kerr haters out there. And I heard somebody call in earlier with Steiny and Evan and talking, you know, looking basically to run Kerr out. We're going to run this guy out. And I just, that's one that always leaves me scratching my head.
That's what everyone's, the great Carter behind the glass put out a tweet of me talking about Zion, and one of the first responses says, yeah, and then get Kerr out of here too.
Right.
It's probably the vocal minority, but it is an opinion that is definitely out there. Speaking of the Warriors and some news, we talked about Stephen Curry and his injury. He was questionable all day with the right thumb sprain. He is probable. Steve Kerr speaking pregame saying the thumb is taped up. He just warmed up, and we think he's going to play. So it seems like the Warriors will have both Draymond and Steph available tonight against the 76ers. Warriors off of 2 days rest. The Sixers on a back-to-back. You got to have this game, Dibs. You got to have it. And good news, it looks like they're going to have Steph.
Well, I mean,
is it a must-win, Dibs?
Of course. Yeah, it's a must-win. You don't want to fall below 500. You have it all year. You were 12-3, and I don't know. Like, yeah, you got to have it because at some point you need to stop the skid and you need to get back to where you feel like you can be a confident basketball team. Because you watch this team and put aside Cleveland, they're one of the best teams in the association.
They're amazing.
And yeah, they're flat better than you, and they took it to you. But other games in this losing, you know, skid, it's not a streak, but over the course of these losses, they aren't playing like a team that believes in themselves, and that's something we're not used to seeing.
And you can hear it in Stephen Curry's voice every time he takes the podium, waiting to answer a question, trying to come up with the right words. You can feel and sense and hear his frustration, and you just begin to wonder what the conversations are like behind the scenes, because this isn't something that Steph Curry is used to, but it's becoming this feeling that I'm sure that he's feeling after a lot of these losses. It's a feeling that's becoming all too common because it feels like a lot of what has happened really the last 2 years, but almost the last 2.5 years.
It's just been, you know, games that are winnable that they don't win. And it used to be, you know, so easy from the outside looking in. You know, you look at it, it's like, oh, the Warriors, they're this, and they're going to shoot it great, and they're going to get up and down, and they're going to play defense, and, you know, 30 assists a night, and this team is, you know, even if they're in a bad stretch, you always would figure they can they'll flip the switch, and by the end of the year, they'll be right there, and then they'll go on a run. And, you know, we're so spoiled by the championships, and yet this year it looked, and Steph made reference to this, he's like, you know, 12-3, kind of had you thinking a certain way about what this team was and what we might be able to be. And then now you've lost 13 of 17. And, you know, it's one thing to lose 4 out of 5. It's one thing to lose 7 out of 10. That's a bad stretch. And that's, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. But when you drop 13 out of 17, that's a whole month. I mean, that's a month now of...
Yeah, how many wins do they have in December?
Oh, geez.
Let me see.
I mean, that's a tough one. Probably 4 would be my guess. And I'm looking at it. Yeah, 4. There you go.
Yeah, Houston, Minnesota, and Phoenix.
4-9 in December.
Yikes.
And even at that, you look at the losses. You lose to Memphis by 51. Okay, bad night. You get throttled. The loss to the Lakers on Christmas, that's a game that you feel like you had and you should have won. Wiggins gets beat by Reeves, and Kuminga's help side defense with his posterior. It's like, those are the moments where, if you're Steph, you look at it and you think, I mean, what did he do in that game? He was absolutely heroic.
38.
Carried him.
Yeah.
And a couple of huge shots down the stretch. And it all comes down to one defensive possession, and your young phenom is not playing proper help side, and Wiggins gets beat by Austin Reeves and you lose. That one's the one that hurts.
It's rough. Tough pill to swallow for sure. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, more time for your calls, for your texts, 888-957-9570. Also, the question we've been throwing out all day long. It's been a rough 2024. It was a rough 2024 for the Warriors, Niners, and Giants. Spent the most of the show talking about the Warriors' side of that, a bit on the Niners. But what's one thing the Giants can do in 2025 to make 2025 better than 2024? We can talk about that and anything you want. 888-957-9570. It's Willard and Dibs. Grandy in for Willard. Dibs and Grandy with you, wrapping things up next on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Is that good, Dibs?
It's still, I mean, I'm sorry, 40 years later, 43 years later, it holds up. It holds up as one of the all-time jams.
Apologies to the YouTube audience. Carter coming back with Billie Jean.
Yes. Huh? Not my lover. She's just a girl, Mark, who claims that I'm the one, but the kid is not my son.
You have to sing it. You can't just say it.
That's better when you go spoken word.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Debatable.
Stop.
Anyways, it's Dibs and Grandy with you. I'm in for Willard today and tomorrow. Willard will be back coming up on Monday here on 95.7 The Game. It's been a good 3 hours and 45 minutes so far. Dibs, let's bring it home. The one thing that we've been going through today, and this has been the majority of the show, 2024 rough, no doubt about it. And I focusing on the Warriors, Niners, and Giants, didn't want to give the A's a shout out because 2024, the worst year for the A's ever as well because they are no longer going to be in the Bay Area.
Right.
Wanted to throw that out
but
there.
It did. I mean, it closed out with really, really sad news about Ricky Henderson.
Yeah, man.
But then some really, really good news with Dave Cavill.
Yeah, how about that? He's stepping down.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean,
I don't know
kind of why. A bookend of the year. He wants to, it sounds like he wants to stay in the Bay Area and pursue other business opportunities, which whatever he wants to do, he'll be very eager and he'll be aggressive. And, well, I'm not going to fully hate on the man because he did give me a shot as the San Jose Earthquakes play-by-play announcer.
Bloop.
During which time I won an Emmy.
Bloop.
But without Dave Cavill, I don't get that shot. So
that's fair.
There's that. And but I give him credit.
I don't get putting up with everything that he clearly put up with and had to eat S while doing.
Grandy. He ultimately was John Fisher's bag man.
Exactly. And then once it all goes down and you're finally like cutting ties with the whole city and you move elsewhere, then it's like, all right, bye. I just had fun screwing the whole North Bay over. Well, and now, you know.
I'm sure he was just doing his job. And not to defend him, it doesn't necessarily make it right, but he certainly was the front man and the bag man. And
yeah,
if you're thinking about 2024 and which of the three teams you mentioned, put the A's aside, but the Niners, the Warriors, and the Giants, who had the roughest of the years of 2020? 24. Now, the Niners started with a playoff run and a Super Bowl loss, and then a really annoying offseason, and then a dud of a regular season. The Warriors had a Draymond return from suspension, and then a fizzle for shizzle, kind of a run into the play-in, and then a dud, backed up by a nice little start to this cute little year.
Yeah, if we cut it off when December started.
We cut it off on the 30th, where they've now lost 13 to 17. So the Warriors, I mean, they went from, you know, the highs and the lows. And then there's the Giants, where they had a no-hitter from Blake Snell, who then no-showed you. You did get rid of Farhan Zaidi. But then you lost out on another big free agent, Corbin Burns. So
6 years, 210, they go to the Diamondbacks.
Which of the three teams had the biggest dud of a 2024?
I think when you consider expectations, it's got to be the Niners. I think they disappointed me more than anybody else.
Yeah.
One, it's the Super Bowl and just the emotional, I don't know, fallout from that. And then it's following it up with one of the worst seasons that they've had in a long time.
Yep.
Giants is like, I don't know, I didn't really expect much in 2024, and they kind of lived up to expectations. I'm excited about the new era, but that's obviously in 2025. And for the Warriors, kind of similar to how I feel right now, I feel like they have to make a move. Otherwise, they're this mediocre team. I felt the same way last year. So this team hasn't really surprised me that much either. So expectations involved in this, I think it's the Niners.
So when you look at 2025, and I'll have you answer your own question about, you know, not a resolution, but what's the thing that you want to see the Giants do or change to get this thing humming? Because, you know, you've got pitchers and catchers reporting here in about 6 weeks, I believe.
And you've still only made one signing.
Right. So what is it that you're looking at? And I don't know about the health of Jung-Hoo Lee, and, you know, the fact that you got Willy Adames as your shortstop of the future is pretty awesome. The left side of your infield should be the left side of your infield every single day for the next
Chapman
5 years, right?
Yeah, I guess you could also throw Chapman in there. He was this cycle signing. It just happened very early in the process.
Yeah, so what is it that you look at for the Giants as the one thing that you want to see different here in 2025?
I think for me, it's lean into who you are and what you've had success doing, and that's not trying to chase the Aaron Judges and the Bryce Harpers. That's never what this team has been, and it's not what won them three World Series in 2010, 2012, and 2014. They won that by having the best pitching staff in baseball and by playing lights-out defense. So lean into that. It might not always be the most exciting brand of baseball. It might not be the sexiest, but it's what this team, this franchise in this ballpark has had the most success doing. And you mentioned Corbin Burns, who went to the Diamondbacks for 6 years, 210. What probably got the job done was the Diamondbacks being willing to offer an opt-out to Burns after year two. Maybe Buster Posey wasn't quite willing to do that in his first year as president of baseball ops. Whatever the reason is, that's a big blow. So the next best guy you can go out and get, sign Roki Sasaki, the 23-year-old Japanese right-hander. All the big boys are in on him. The Dodgers, the Mets, the Yankees, the Cubs, the Rangers. The Giants have been rumored to be in on him as well, but it seems like a long shot. You do whatever you can, and it's a little bit different because it's the international signing pool that you got to pull the money from, and he's not even eligible to be signed until January 15th. He has said that the most important thing to him is developing as a pitcher, like being able to improve year over year and to learn how to pitch. He's only 23 years old. He's not like a Yamamoto or an Imanaga who are more experienced. He's a young guy who's still trying to figure things out. And if you're the Giants, you can offer pitching development and a history of that, maybe more so than a lot of other teams. So I think he's the guy you got to go after, and you do whatever you can to get it done, because that's how you've made your money, pitching and defense.
Yep.
And quit trying to chase the guys that are using you only to up offers from everybody else.
I like that answer, and I don't want to just piggyback on it, but that's kind of what I was thinking, not only about Roki Sasaki, but just in general about what you were saying. Lean into who you are and what works for you, because trying to pursue big-time sluggers, they don't want to come here. So unless you go out there and you trade for them, it's going to be very difficult to bring them in. And I think that Bryce Eldridge is going to be an exciting player to watch this year and see if he can eventually elevate himself to the big leagues. And then you get a chance to see what he's going to be. But the one thing that I'm looking forward to the most for the Giants this year is to have them be a baseball team again and not just be a manifestation of the spreadsheet. You know, the feeling of, here's my team, here's my lineup, they're going to play baseball. And when you look around the diamond right now, you can kind of slot guys in, and Fitzgerald at second, and Bailey's going to catch. And we mentioned the left side of the infield with Adamas and Chapman. In the outfield, you've got probably, if Jungwoo Lee is healthy, you're going to want to have him out there 140 games or more. And then you get your corner guys. And if it's Ramos and if it's Yaz out there, it feels like you've got actual players that you're going to rely on to play five of every six games or so. And that, for me, has value as a fan, because you don't have to worry about who the other team's pitcher is, what's the lineup, what are the splits, what does Farhan think? And I know he didn't hand Bob Melvin the lineup, but he had a pretty big hand in Bob Melvin's lineup, if I could twist the words.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to a little bit more of an old school feel to this Giants team.
Yeah, you got a question mark at first base. Lamont Wade was the guy. You don't know how you feel about that in the future.
Feels like a platoon still.
Probably.
Until Elders is ready.
Yeah. At second base, you're probably going to play Tyler Fitzgerald. I think he did enough towards the tail end of last year to be the guy, at least opening day, at second base. Looks like it's probably going to be Yaz in right field, which he's still a very good defensive outfielder.
And he's a power bat. I mean, he's going to hit kinda 210, but he'll get you 25 homers.
Maybe.
If you can live with, you know, every 15 at-bats, 12 of them will be strikeouts, but there'll be a homer in there.
But, I mean, you're right. You're set in left field, you're set in center, you're set at third, you're set at short, you're set at catcher. And that's a pretty good base
right, for
your team. Now you got to fill out the rest of the gaps, and you need a pitcher, and Roky Sasaki is the guy you got to go for. But I think in general, I think this is why Buster was a good hire, because Buster was the leader of the franchise when they were at their best, and he knows how this team won and how you can win, and it's by pitching and fielding the baseball better than anybody else.
And I think that
they haven't done that in the Farhan.
Right. If you were able to get Sasaki, it would take away a little bit of the sting of what happened with Corbin Burnes, because it felt like that was an ownership cheap out where they didn't want to do what was necessary to get that deal done.
Yeah.
And so as a result, you know, you missed out on another one, and it was the first miss in the Buster Posey era.
Yeah. Dibs, it's about all the time we got today. I did want to say it's a Thursday and it's football season, so normally we have Fade the Dibbers,
Ooh.
But there's no Thursday night football because it's the final week of the regular season. That makes me sad.
Well, a couple Saturday games, and I'll give out
Maybe we'll have you pick one of the Saturday games and then also the Niner game.
I would love to, Mark, because I'm a giver, and I'm undefeated so far in 2025.
Mm-hmm. How many bets have you placed in 2020? Yeah, okay.
Not a one.
I didn't think so.
Lost a bundle in the track yesterday, too. So.
Although you closed 2024 with a win.
Yeah, I did.
Lions -3. Mm. Lock it up.
Cha-ching!
Yeah. All right. Anyways, coming up next, here on The Game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. I've got you covered with Warriors Live as the Dubs in town again, hosting Kelly Oubre and the 76ers.
Don't do that.
That's coming up next. I'll be back with you in just a few minutes to get you through that. Then we've got Warriors tip-off coming up at 7. Dibs, fun as always.
Yep.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Can't wait, brother.
All right, looking forward to it. That's Dibs. I'm Grandy. I'll be back coming up shortly. Warriors Live next on 95.7 The Game.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knick's Menswear, your friend in style.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.